Welcome back to WTK's Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050. WTK, the ticket. Every Sunday from 10 to 11, if the Lions start a little bit later, we'll go a little bit later as well. So, welcome back to the show. You can also call us right now at 734-998-1050 or find us on Twitter. It's View from the Backfield Twitter. We took it over. We're the Playground. We took it over. It is now WTKA underscore Playground. You can reach us there as well.
We own the Playground now, Jay-Z.
We do. We are the big bullies that are making sure this is our Playground from at least 10 to 11.
And Miz, like to say thank you, sir. Very appropriate with the Jumpman rejoin, considering that his airness himself was in Ann Arbor yesterday.
You know, it's only fitting that you have to come back to the airness. We got to come back to the Jumpman. Always got to come back from Jumpman. I'm ready to go. I got my Jumpman hat back at home. I probably should have wore it this morning.
You could have.
I could have, but you know what? I left it back. I probably could have. I left it all at the tailgate yesterday. It's why the voice is kind of hoarse and whatnot. Had a big old happening time, especially with Anthony from San Antonio come running. He come run through, and it was like a giant like hurricane effect that come running through.
Anthony in the flesh sounds like a terrifying experience.
I wouldn't say terrifying experience. It was more or less just like he come through, and it was just an experience to see at the Golubat Blue Victor's Lounge yesterday.
So let's talk about Jordan being there for a second. Jordan, Jeter, and Woodson all at the game. How cool is that? I mean, really, yes, you have the guy on the front of your jersey, but not just that, he is actually there. And then he has Jeter and Woodson, and they're all back together.
And Lamar Woodley.
Yeah, I don't put Woodley in that thing. I feel like he's an add-on. I mean, that's just me. I feel like you have greatness, 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 and then you have a guy that was great.
I can see that. Jay-Z kind of, man.
I'm just saying, like, I saw the picture of the four. I'm like, I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, he's that guy that came with the, you know, he's like, oh, all right, go ahead. He's in the picture too. You know, it's one of those things. Nothing against Lamar Woodley. Love him. But you have greatness, greatness, greatness in a player that was great.
A little bit of different level there, but Jay-Z, you asked about Jumpman and Michael Jordan being in town and what that meant. We talked to Harbaugh on the post-game presser, and he
another
said,
greatness.
Yes, and the GOAT, as Mike McCray would call him. But we talked to Jim Harbaugh on the postgame presser, and he talked about Michael Jordan talking to the team for 45 minutes at the hotel the night before, and how, you know, oh, they won't pay attention to me, but they'll pay attention to Michael Jordan. He had the players' attention enraptured for 45 minutes and talking about his experience as a first-time college player down at North Carolina. And after Harbaugh left, we talked to McCray, we talked to Spade, we talked to Chris Evans, and had a huge media hoard around him. But he said that to be there and to hear Jordan and to hear about his experiences and to leave everything out there in the field really inspired him, and it showed up on the field, 112 yards rushing.
Yeah, and just having Jordan in the locker room and have him talk to everyone, that is awesome, because he's not going to come back for a while. You know, you don't think he is. He's got a lot going on. And then you have Woodson, who finally retired after all the seasons, and you know, you just having him back there, and he did the Heisman pose, and that was awesome. And then Jeter, it's just all these great guys coming back, and yes, that helps everyone, because even if you're like, I don't even know who Michael Jordan was, some of these might not.
These kids weren't even born when he played.
Right, so they're like, you know, you must be, back in my day, you either hated Michael Jordan because you loved the Pistons. It was one or the other. You couldn't love both. You couldn't love the Pistons and Michael Jordan. You just can't say that.
I think there was probably, and I know what you're talking about, Jay-Z, being young in that era, and I think there was a little bit of begrudging respect for Michael Jordan, and oh, it's Michael Jordan, the shoe brand, and Nike, and all that, but as we know here in the state of Michigan, we're very passionate about our teams, and if you're a Piston fan, you're a Piston fan. That's it. You can respect an opponent, but you're not going to support or root or anything like that from Michael Jordan, because he killed those bad boy teams.
Well, he didn't. They did have a couple championships in 1990-91.
Yeah.
But he did. He finally did get over the hump, and finally he was able. Yeah. You know, if he's listening, congratulations, Michael Jordan. You finally actually did win something, and then he took over Michigan football and all the sports. So it was great to see him in the house.
And you can add it to the list of Harbaugh accomplishments that are helping recruiting.
Notoriety. Yeah. I mean, notoriety.
If you're a 19-year-old kid and you see this
again, putting the program in that spotlight, that's what Harbaugh's always focused on. And again, even on a day where it's a lesser opponent in stature, You have Woodley there. You have Woodson. You have Jeter. You have Michael Jordan. I mean, again, putting the program in the limelight.
Right, and didn't we see Amir Mitchell at the signing of the Stars? Like, there was a lot of great guys there, and now he's playing at Rutgers, and I just don't know who the signing of the Stars there is going to have. Maybe, Mick Foley and Betty White. Maybe
the actual Scarlet Knight himself.
Yes, that's it. So, I mean, you have to look at those guys that you can pull in, and anybody on that team, any of those guys, maybe they were too afraid to talk to him, but listening to him and knowing how great he was as an athlete, and maybe a couple of them will say, hey, let's ball after the game, Let's go ahead. Let's throw it down.
Well, it's funny you say that, Jay-Z, because DeMonte Thomas mentioned this when we talked to him after the game. He said, I looked at Jordan and I said, I had two thoughts. One thought was, my God, look how big his hands are.
Right.
The other thought is, could I take him one-on-one now? Maybe now. Definitely not in his prime. No question.
Yeah, you'd have to take him off the dribble, and there it can't be any traveling like it is in the NBA. You just have to kind of run at him and hope that maybe you can bend that knee far enough that he can't keep up with you, but more likely not. It's still, he could still probably get on the floor and school all of us. Maybe not all of us. Maybe not the Miz, but Miz, you just have to block him out. You just have to do that.
Take the charge.
Take the charge and then and hope the ref's going to call that for you.
Jay-Z, we want to get to the hot topic is, of course, the quarterbacks.
Yes,
and
yes.
And that's what everybody...
Controversy.
I'm not as concerned with this, but we do want to talk about the quarterbacks, and we want to talk about Wilton Spate's performance, and Okorn and Shane Morse got some run later in the game. But, yeah, the first play of the game, throwing that interception, and he said after the game that... He went over to Harbaugh. Harbaugh kind of embraced him, gave him a little bit of a hug, and said, don't worry, we'll get him next time. Well, that one mistake, I think that was quickly erased from the minds of people in the stadium with the way Wilton Spate played every next possession.
Yeah, they only had 3 incompletions the rest of the game. You have to look at it as, like, that's the best time to do it. Start the game is the best time to do it, not in the middle of the game, and get it out of the way so you don't have to worry for the rest of the year. Hopefully he doesn't throw that many. 10 for 13, had that one INT for 143 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then Shane Morris and John Okorn both came into the game. Both were perfect. Okorn, 3 for 3, Morris, 4 for 4, and he's that lefty gunslinger, which I would think it's going to be harder for the receivers for looking where the ball's coming out from a righty to a lefty, but hey, they both completed all their passes, 7 for 7 for the two of them. Yes, it was later in the action, but these are the guys we're going to need later on in the year. At some point, you're going to think that he wants to either use them later in the year, or he wants other teams to focus on some of these guys. Like, we can't focus all on Wilton, because maybe later in the year, John Okorn might be the quarterback in this team.
And you never know, barring anything like an injury, you have to prepare for the inevitable, Jay-Z. I mean, you never know what could happen. These guys, like with the freshmen, need experience. But here's the thing for me, for Michigan's first scoring drive of the game, and Spate showed that to me right away. Harbaugh wanted to get him comfortable in the pocket and get him to feel like he's into the game after that INT. And you saw that immediately. Quick slant route, simple slant route over the middle, give it to Jehu Chesson, who was really involved in that game early, had a couple catches over the middle on that first drive. But that was a 4-minute and 57-second drive, 11 plays, 98 yards. Michigan started from the 2. But when Michigan got in the red zone, what stuck out to me, Wilton Spate showed on that throw into the corner of the end zone to Perry, beautiful ball. He put more touch on that ball, and he lofted it right over those Hawaii defenders. So he showed us on the very next drive to lead Michigan into the end zone for 6.
Yeah, and when you're looking at that, you can tell that's maybe one of those few reasons why he's starting over Okorn. We don't know exactly what separated the two, but it had to be very close to come down to the last few weeks to finally figure out who was the quarterback was going to be. Let's take a phone call. Pat from Missouri, you're in the playground.
Hey, morning, guys.
Good morning, Pat.
Hey, first of all, before I ask you the question, I watch the pressers, listen to them. Harbaugh tells us what Harbaugh wants to tell
exactly.
us. We all got that. But, guys, my question is, after fall camp and after the first game, is Michigan banged up? Are they dinged up? We didn't see Drake Johnson. We got some folks that never dressed, Fur Bush and the rest of them. I'm not saying they're injured, but, you guys know who went down. I mean, I'm not going to go through all the names, but again, is Michigan dinged up from fall camp after game one?
I would definitely say, Pat, that's a yes to a degree. I think Michigan had some significant injuries that occurred in the game with Davion Smith and the rib, and then you saw
Charlton.
Yeah, I believe it was Charlton was limping out of that ankle. So there were a handful of guys that were concerning, and Harbaugh said in the presser that Jordan Lewis, not a serious thing. You know, people right. worried he wasn't out there, but that was a precautionary reason to keep him out of the game. So I think going forward, Jabril Peppers will be fine. But I would say, you know, the warning level is not on high alert here, but there were a few guys that, you know, you hope in these next couple of games that we see them getting healthy once we head into the Big Ten schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and looking at Taco, that's one of those injuries where, you know, I had a lot of calls yesterday during the game and then afterwards about. The good thing is he was able to walk all the way up the tunnel with it. Now, that doesn't mean anything because he could, you know, there's people walking on broken legs right now and not even know about it. The thing is you don't want to see that this early. We've seen that last year with Monet where he was lost for the whole season right away, and those things you don't want to see throughout there. I don't think as far as spring is concerned, Jordan Lewis would have played if it was a bigger game. If we would have played in LSU, another team that may have been up higher, and we would have seen that guy come in and he would have played well. It's just there's no concern to have him in there. He's got his spot. And maybe you want to have other people look, because people are going to break down this film every which way. You don't want to have film on somebody like that. Yes, they've seen it for years in the past, but you want to save your All-American for the bigger games. And this game and maybe the next aren't the two you're going to need him as.
Yeah, I think the more concerning thing, Jay-Z, for me in this game was you touched on Brian Monet. He was out all last year with that injury. And as soon as we heard that in the press box, you know, we're up there, we're objective, we're unbiased. There was a little bit of groan in the press box for Monet, I think just because reporters and everybody else really feel for this kid. So Monet leaves in the second half, and of all those injuries, I think for me, that is the one that is most concerning going forward, because all the talk had been about the defensive line depth, and Monet gets hurt, Charlton gets hurt as well with the ankle. So the defensive line depth, which was a strength of this team, let's hope that depth is not tested, but that could be something to be worried about going forward.
Yeah, well, looking at, we do have Dr. Blitz as our coach now for the defensive side, and we had three actual, you know, Peppers had a sack for 14 yards, McCray had two, and Gideon had one. We're going to see guys come from all over. So even if the defensive line's not there, that's the problem last year. We didn't have the linebackers that were strong enough. So once they got past that first line of defense, it was going to Jordan Lewis. It was going to those guys that were farther away. You don't have to worry about it this year because of the linebackers, and that's why they moved Peppers to linebacker, because you have those guys, and they're just going to have to do what you said before the show, Jeff, is if instead of waiting, they're going to have to fill those holes, especially yeah. when you have a defensive lineman like Taco and that's injured. You're going to have to put someone in there that's maybe not been practicing all week, and you're going to have to move those guys forward.
I think that was very encouraging, Jay-Z. That was my biggest takeaway from the defense is, yes, Rashawn Gary and all the hype surrounding him, and yes, you know, Demonte Thomas and everyone else at corner and in the secondary, but to see those guys who prior to this season hadn't really had the starting experience, really encouraging time and again. You're seeing Mike McCray step up and fill that hole. You're seeing the whole linebacker core really get involved in this game. McCray finishing 9 total tackles, 2 sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss. And he is who the athletic department trotted out to talk to the media after that game. That's usually something when you have a player like him come and talk to the media. But McCray seemed so into that game, and Gideon as well. And guys, that I think the communication is better at the linebacking position. I think now, like you said, Jay-Z, if a running back gets past the first level and gets into the second level, you don't just have to rely on Jabril or Jordan Lewis or Demonte Thomas to have to come all the way up and make that tackle, especially if they're in pass coverage. But McCray, I thought he moved really well. I thought the instincts were better for a guy that really hadn't started before. So he was really a bright spot for me, and one that I was really impressed with after this game.
Yeah, the whole line, I think it's hard to take away and say, this is what they need to work on, this is what they need to work on, when they beat the team 63-3. Hawaii wasn't that bad. We saw them a week before versus Cal. They actually
nearly 500 yards of offense.
Yeah, they showed up, and maybe they didn't win the game. Maybe they didn't. You know, we kind of ruled them out as the game went along. All right, but you can tell how good the Michigan defense is.
One thing about the Michigan defense that was concerning, though, was the drive to end the second quarter, really the first half, when Hawaii basically found receiver after receiver open, sort of in the secondary. That was a little bit concerning.
Yeah, I think that Jeremy Clark had started in place of Jordan Lewis on that corner position, that side of the field, and they did hit a lot of big plays over the middle against the Michigan defense, whether it was linebackers sort of vacating the area or just finding guys open. And Hawaii has some playmakers, whether it's Woolsey at quarterback, Diosome St. Just, who broke off that big gain to start the Cal game. These are guys that have speed. They have ability when they get in space. And Michigan bottled them up, did not allow them outside of that drive to really grab big gains on the Michigan defense.
I'm glad you could pronounce those names.
Well, you know, Brandy and Deerdorf, they kind of just go along with, you know, they work at it, and they work all week at it. But sometimes they said that on the other day, during the game, that there's some Michigan guys they didn't actually have the right pronunciations for.
Oh, I know.
But I'm going to leave that up for Jeff for this whole season.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I saw a picture on Twitter of the pronunciation sheet of the entire Hawaiian roster, and I'm even going through that, just trying to sound it out like I'm in elementary school or something. Just like, I don't know how this one. And one of them was, it said rhymes with taffy. And I'm like, seriously, is that easy? You can't just go Yaffe or something is what it was. I think it was the guy's name. No offense to the guy. Again, I don't have the sheet in front of me that says all the pronunciations. I'm sorry.
It's funny you mention that, because I kind of was paying attention to this in the press box. Well, in the press box, there's another announcer, but Carl Grappatine, the voice of Michigan Stadium, every time he was on top of it, man, he was flawless. I mean, there were a few times where, like, my God, he got this, and leave it to Carl Grappatine, no stone unturned. I mean, master of preparation, he had it.
Shout out to public address announcers.
All right, so let me first ask, is there anything from this game we need to see better for next week, Jeff?
I think in terms of this game, I would like to see the defensive line get a little more push. I think we saw as well as the linebackers played, I think that it was on them to maybe fill holes too many times and allow the Hawaii running attack to get to the second level. But Rashawn Gary, you know, he had a good game, not a great game. I think the spotlight for this game had to go to Chris Evans. But Rashawn Gary made a couple of nice plays.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of him, yeah, just a little bit. I would say the defensive line, I'd like to see a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, force a couple of hurries, a few sacks from the defensive line. And I think that will come when hopefully Monet and Hurst get a little bit healthier. But I think once we move forward, and especially in the Big Ten schedule, I like to see the defensive line be as dominant as we're expecting.
Tonio, your thoughts, anything they need to change or get better at for the next game when they play Central Florida?
Well, I think going forward, I'd like to see them get a little bit better at sort of focusing maybe on some like the spread offense characteristics just on the defensive side. That kind of like what we were talking about just a minute ago or so was, you know, on that one drive where they were, where they had those, I don't know if it was the slant routes or what it was that was killing us, but on some of those things, I think I'd like to see ironed out before we play some more spread heavy teams. But, I mean, overall, you can't be
disappointed by a 60-point win, Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
Miz, do you have a thing you want them to get better at? I know you work very hard during the games.
Yeah. To be honest with you, this is going to be a smart aleck way to say it. Punting and kicking.
Well, yeah, punting. We still, like, that was
zero,
a joke.
0 points. Oh, by the way, yeah. Only the fourth time in Michigan history they never punted in a game, which was incredible.
Jeff bringing up great stats there, but I mean, we'll definitely see the special teams come out. In fact, John, you actually tweeted out, like, how can we judge the special teams when the special teams really weren't out on the field at all?
It was like the spring game.
Yeah.
Kenny Allen did not attempt a field goal. So a lot of things we need to see from the special teams.
Exactly. I think that, but we'll definitely see the special teams. If not next week, we'll probably see it maybe the Colorado game. The Colorado game will probably be the only difficult game before going into the
first real test.
Yeah, the first real test before going into the Big Ten schedule, though.
All right. Well, let's take another break. When we come back, we do have a media guest, and then we're going to also talk about Central Florida. They barely beat SC yesterday, and I'm not talking about Southern California.
Southern California had their own problems.
Yes, they did, and we'll also go through all the Big Ten scores. But you're listening to WTK's Playground.